This is Purushottam Vrata. I'll say Purushottam Ekadasi, which is Padmini Ekadasi, 2010. To be successful in any devotional attempt, whether it be chanting japa, reading shastra, reading Bhagavatam, preaching, cooking an offering for the Lord. Or selling books or any particular service, giving class, we have to invoke the memory of Guru, Mangalacharan. Mangala means auspicious, and Acharan means worship, Achara. And we say in English, Mangalacharan means invocatory prayers. This is the translation of Mangalacharana. These are always included in the beginning of a book. You're invoking the mercy of Sri Guru. Without Sri Guru, there is nothing, no success. Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Sri Guru is everything, because Guru gives us everything. He gives us life, Chaitanya, and He gives us Seva, and He gives us Prema. He gives us Krishna, because Krishna is the eternal living consciousness. And he's a savior Bhagavan, and we're the sevak. Is it? Savior Bhagavan means he's a recipient of service, and sevaka Bhagavan means we're the renderers of service, prema shray, and he is prem vishay. So Guru is everything. So before we started, we thought we have a little humorous note here to some extent. Some years ago, we wrote a Vyasa Puja offering was included in the back of our Samadhi's book. It's a glorification of Prabhupada. It's what's called Suchak Kirtan. Suchak Kirtans are a specified form of Kirtan, like Leela Kirtans. But they describe the biography of Vaishnava in prayer. So this Suchak, S-U-C-A-K-A, Suchak, they're prayers written especially by the great devotees, the Mahabhagavats, their Suchak Kirtans, and they describe the life and teachings of great Vaishnavas, Rupa Goswami Suchak Kirtan, Raghunath Das Suchak Kirtan, Raghunath Bhatta Suchak Kirtan, Gopal Bhatta Suchak Kirtan. So this is Srila Prabhupada Suchak Kirtan, which we entitled Srila Prabhupada Mahim Amrita. And we call it Mahim Amrita because it follows the tune or the melody, or the rag, I suppose, of Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madanda Mohan. So this is a glorification of Prabhupada, so we'll sing one shloka and read the translation, because by remembering Prabhupada, everything will become auspicious, and we may get, hopefully we'll get the strength, determination, enthusiasm to remain awake on this Ekadasi Jagran. Jaya Bala Leela Jaya Sankirtan Bilas Jaya Jaya Nagar Kirtan Gora Premaras. So it's Sankirtan Bilas Gora Premaras. Jaya Bala Leela, Jaya Jaya Nagara Kirtan. All glories to Srila Prabhupada's childhood pastimes, Bala Leela. All glories to his spreading the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sankirtan Vilas. All glories to Srila Prabhupada's chanting of Hare Krishna Kirtan through the streets of Calcutta, Jaya Jaya Nagara Kirtan. All glories to his always relishing the pure mellow of pure love for Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Prabhupada, for he is always relishing the mellow of pure love for Lord Chaitanya. Gaur Prema Ras. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Jagannatha Jaya Jaya Ratta Yatra, Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, Jaya Mahamantra. Number 2. All glories to Lord Jagannath. All glories to Jagannath's blissful Rath Yatra, which Prabhupada began at the age of 5. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Rath Yatra. All glories to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, which Prabhupada chanted while leading Lord Jagannath down Harrison Road in Calcutta. Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, Jaya Jaya Mahamantra. Jaya Saraswati Thakur, Mahamukta Jan, Dasanu Dasa Jaya Charanaravindam. All glories to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Jaya Saraswati Thakur Ki, the greatest among liberated souls, Maha Mukta Jan. All glories to his disciple, Abhay Charanaravinda, who fearlessly and humbly acted as a servant of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Das Anurdasa Jaya Charanaravindam. Abhay Charanaravindam. Dasa Anudasa Jaya Charanaravindam. Shri Bhakti Vedanta Jaya Ratna Dvijaraj Jaya Bhagavata Jaya Bhakti Tika Kaviraj. Shri Bhakti Vedanta Jaya, Bhakti Tika of Kaviraj, Ratna Dvijaraj, Bhakti Tika Kaviraj. Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Shri Bhakti Vedanta Jaya, the crest jewel of all brahmanas, Ratna Dvijaraj, who was honored for his pure devotion and Vedic scholarship with the title Bhaktivedanta, Sri Bhaktivedanta. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana Ki. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, the king of poets, Kaviraj, whose commentaries on Bhagavat are full of bhakti and his devotional ecstasies. Bhakti Tika Kaviraj. Ratna Dvijaraj, Bhakti Tika Kaviraj. Jaya Radha Damodara Sri Jiva Goswami Seva Kunja Jaya Jaya Sri Rupa Manjari. Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Rupa Manjari. All glories to Sri Jiva Goswami's beloved deities of Radha Damodar. Somehow we got to serve them for 3 years in Seva Kunj. The devotees gave some donations. We built a Tulsi garden for them on the Perkamamarak with a big metal cage, 18 feet by 20 feet rectangle. So no monkeys jump in. Jai Damodar. Then we bought one flute, one murali. Murali is 3 feet long. Murali. And it's supposed to have a makara on it. And I gave the design in paper and described to the flute maker. It's supposed to have a beautiful makara on it. And it had all kinds of zirconite. We got imitation diamonds from Delhi called zirconite. And it cost about 10 rupees each, which is not much, but, and a few hundred of them or whatever, so, and some little fake rubies and stuff, and looked really beautiful. And we offer that to Damodar on behalf of Prabhupada. Damodar may still have it today. That was in 1989. That was like 1990, I suppose. I saw it a few years ago. Maybe they got a new one, but that'd be nice if he's still using it after 20 years. 1990 is 20 years. All glories to Sri Jiva Goswami's beloved deities of Radha Damodar, who were so dear to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Seva Kunj in Vrindavan. Seva Kunj Jaya. Where Shyam Sundar serves Kishori. All glories to Rupa Mundri, the constant companion of Srimati Radharani. Jaya Jiva Goswami, Jaya Rupa Mundri. Jaya Srila Prabhupada, Sri Vaishnav Thakur. Jaya Jaya Jagat Guru, Jaya Nittai Gaur. Still humorous type. That's my nature, I suppose. Sri Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Nittai Gaur. Jaya Nittai Gaur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur. All glories to the Bhagavad Gita. Jaya Bhagavad Gita. All glories to this scripture, which establishes the proof about the personality of God as Sri Krishna. All glories, because it says, what does it say? Jaya Bhagavad Gita, Jaya Shastra Praman. Praman means proof. This Shastra establishes the proof of Krishna's personality. Everywhere, Mam, Mam. Sharanam, Ham Tam, Mam, and Ham, I and me. Man Mana Bhavamad Bhakto. All glories to the Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, who distributed Krishna consciousness all over the world and all over the universe. All glories to the most merciful Lord, Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Jai Jagat Guru, Jai Nittai Gaur, Jai Vaishnav Thakur. Jaya Bhagavati Gita, Jaya Shastra Praman, Jaya Jaya Pracha Kripa Patita Pavan. That's Praman Pavan. So that, all glories to Srila Prabhupada's preaching mercy, which purifies and uplifts the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Jaya Pracha Kripa, all glories to his preaching mercy, which Jaya Radha Krishna Mandir, Jaya Sadhu Sangha, Sri Krishna Prasada Jaya Iskan Brihat Mridanga. Jaya Sadhu Sangha, Iskan Brihat Mridanga. So let's hear the translation, it's obvious. All glories to the Radha and Krishna temples that Krishna Prabhupada established in 108 different countries around the world. All glories to the blissful association of Krishna's devotees found within these temples. Jaya Sadhu Sangha. All glories to the quote, Big Mridanga, the global sound made by ISKCON's continual distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books to benefit mankind. Sri Krishna Prasada Jaya. All glories to that. All glories to Sri Krishna Prasada. These are Prabhupada's contributions. Radha Krishna Mandir, Sadhu Sangha, book distribution and prasad, isn't it? This is another interesting one. Jaya Sri Kishora Jaya, Jaya Sri Kishori, Jaya Hari Nama Jaya, Jaya Bibiti. I mean, I'm not, obviously, it's very clear that everyone can draw the quick conclusion that I'm not a kavi, and I'm not a songwriter, and I'm not a poet. I'm just an aspiring servant of the servants of Srila Prabhupada. And my only hope is that the Bhagavatam verse where it mentions that Krishna is Bhava, Bhava Grahi Janardhan, that he accepts the essence of someone's devotional sentiments or attempts at devotion, Bhava, Bhava Grahi Janardhan. By the bhaktavatsalya nature of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, by his affectionate mother-like nature, affection like a mother, that Krishna will somehow accept my crippled attempt to poetically glorify Prabhupada with a language which I know nothing about, Bengali. But they say fools run in where angels dare not. But I'm a fool, admittedly, and I'm rushing to glorify the sun, and I'm just a moth. And in my foolish attempt to glorify the sun with my little wings of my moth body, I will be burned alive by the sun's rays. But I'm hoping that the sun of Prabhupada's heart will have a little room for this tiny little bug. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Gopagan, Srila Prabhupada Jaya, Jaya Sri Iskan. All glories to Krishna Balaram, the beloved deities of Srila Prabhupada that he installed in Iskan Vrindavan. Krishna Balaram ki, Nitai Gauranga ki. All glories to the coward boys of Vrindavan, Jaya Gopagan. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya. All glories to the wonderful and beautiful ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada founded to save humanity. Jai Sri ISKCON. Because in a purport of the 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada writes about the birth of Krishna, he said, the demons are fearing this Krishna Consciousness movement. Just as Kamsa became very afraid when he got the news that Krishna had appeared in the womb of Devaki, or was about to. So Prabhupada made a parallel between Devaki and ISKCON. ISKCON is Devaki Mata, an amsha of Devaki Mata. He said, as Kamsa, the demon, was afraid of the appearance of Krishna in the womb of Devaki. Similarly, Prabhupada said in the purport, the Kamsa class of demons in the contemporary modern world is very much afraid of ISKCON because Krishna has taken birth in the womb of this ISKCON movement. Krishna has taken birth. Prabhupada said it. It's true. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are the Hare Krishnas. This is the Hare Krishna movement. And people call us Krishnas. Are you a Krishna? Are you a Krishna? Are you a Krishna? Hare Krishnas. You're Hare Krishna? Are you Hare Krishna? No, that's my father's name. My name is Hare Krishna Das. Are you Hare Krishna? It's so funny. When we were distributing books at the airport, we had a little ID on our little plastic ID, ID, right? And it said, had a little picture of us. It said my name and the address, Radhakrishna Temple. We're just turning books, and these the anti-party people would say, "Are you Hare Krishna?" I say, "I'm not a Hare Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna." Like promised life from beginning to end, right? From when he's born in Calcutta and ISKCON and got the initiation and honored by Bhaktivinoda, then books distribution, Priyat Mridanga, then his life at Radhadamara, then ISKCON. It's like progression, chronology of biography. Jaya Nitya Leela Jaya Jaya Vrindavan Shama Shama Charana Seva Jaya Govardhan Jaya Nitya Leela Jaya Jaya Vrindavan Shama Shama Charana Seva Jaya Govardhan. All glories to Radha and Krishna's eternally flowing transcendental pastimes. Jaya Niti Lila Jaya. All glories to Sri Vrindavan Dham, Jaya Vrindavan. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who eternally lives in Vrindavan, serving the lotus feet of Radha Shyam Sundar, Shama Sham. All glories to Govardhan Hill, Jaya Govardhan, Jaya, Shama Sham Charana Seva. All glories to Prabhupada, who eternally lives in Vrindavan, serving the lotus feet of Radha Shyam Sundar, Shama Sham. Giri Govardhan is the most beautiful and glorious of all mountains. Govardhan is simultaneously the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and the best devotee of the Lord. Giriraj Govardhana ki. Giriraj Baba ki. Giriraj Dharana ki. And the last one. So now we're taking Prabhupada from his appearance, advent in Calcutta, then his diksha, then his honoring as Bhaktivedanta, then his tikas in Bhagavatam, then his ISKCON, his Radha-Damodar, then ISKCON, temples and prasad and book distribution and devotees and deities, Kishore, Kishori in Chicago. All glories to Sri Kishore, Lord Krishna, and to Sri Kishori, Srimati Radharani, the ISKCON deities located in Chicago, USA. That's the name of the deities, Kishore, Kishori. Once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why does Radharani's name, Kishori, appear at the end, when everywhere else, in every other temple, her name comes before Krishna? Radha Govinda, Radha Madhav, Radha Shamsundar, Radha Damodar, Radha Gopinath. Srila Prabhupada smiled sweetly and said, why? Because we always save the best for last. Radha Rani Ki Jai. Kishori Radha Rani Ki Jai. Jai, what is it now? Jai Hari Nama Jai. All glories to the holy names of Krishna, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada's BBT, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, which we had the good fortune to be able to serve in some small way for 6 years, 75 to 81, full-time book distribution in the airports, distributing Bhagavatam, Gita. Now the final shlok. Jaya Shuddha Nama Jaya Braja Vasasha Jaya Guru Kripa Jaya Dina Nitya Das. All glories to the pure chanting of the holy names of Radha and Krishna. Jai Shuddha Nam Jai. All glories to the desire to reside in Brajadam, Brajavasad Asha. Asha means hope. Asha. Brajavasa Asha. Only by receiving your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, and by purely chanting the holy names of Radha and Krishna, can this fallen eternal servant of yours ever fulfill his desire to live eternally in Vrindavan. Jaya Guru Kripa Jaya Dina Nitya Das. Generally, it's a tradition in Padakartas, songwriters of Bengali Vaishnav songs, that they end a song with their name. Narottama Das, Bhakti Vinod, this, that. So we didn't want to put our name, but so we put our name in a covered way, Dina Nitya Das. That's a glorification of Prabhupada. And we pray for his mercy that we can pass this Ekadasi. So this Purushottamas, which happens every 100 years, when it falls in Vaishak month, of course everyone knows Purushottam comes every 3 years. Adhik Mas, extra month, we call leap year. I don't know how many people are leaping and jumping this year, but it's called extra month year, and we've already discussed all that. This is Kamala Ekadasi, which is also called Padmini. There's a nice story of the Mahatmyam, or glories of this Ekadasi, from the Ekadashi Mahatmya. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, O Krishna, O Janardhan, please describe to me what is the name of the Ekadasi that occurs during the waxing moon of Adhik Mas. How should you observe it, and what do you gain by observing it? Krishna said, O Yudhisthira, this is Padmini Ekadasi. Strict observance of this one returns to Vaikuntha, to Padmanabha's abode. This Ekadasi counteracts all one's sinful activities, reactions. Even Brahma cannot describe the results of this Ekadasi. Long ago, Brahma described Padmini Ekadasi, and its, which awards opulence and liberation to Narada. Lord Krishna said, one should begin to observe this vow on Dasmi, the day before Ekadasi, one should not eat foodstuff cooked by others. He should not eat on a plate made of bell metal and should not eat urd dal, chickpeas, spinach, and honey on a day before Ekadasi. One should eat boiled sun rice with ghee and rock salt. One should sleep on the floor and strictly observe celibacy on Ekadasi. On Ekadasi, rise early, Brahmahurt, brush teeth, and take a bath. Worship Krishna with sandalwood paste, incense, a lamp, a guru, camphor, and water. And one should chant the holy names. We will be offering a guru together soon. One should chant the holy names and glories of the Lord. One should not indulge in useless talk. If one drinks water or milk on a day of Ekadasi, which occurs during Adhika month, then his vow is spoiled. One should remain awake at night on Ekadasi, glorify the holy names and qualities of the Lord. By remaining awake for 3 hours, you get one Agni Stoma sacrifice. So 3 hours means, from sunset plus 3 hours. So seven, so you remain awake till 10, you just racked up one Agni Stoma sacrifice in your Sukriti account. If you remain awake for 6 hours, which is till 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock to 1 a.m., then you get a bhajpay sacrifice. That's like really big time. That's quite a lot of sacrificial points. If you remain awake for 9 hours, which means till 4 a.m., 7 p.m. to 12 is 5, and 12 to 4 is 5, 9. So if you stay up till 4 a.m., you get the result of performing Ashwamedha sacrifice, horse sacrifice. And by remaining awake until sunrise, you get a Rajasuya sacrifice. That's big. On a day of Dwadasi, tomorrow, or today it's actually, one should complete his vow by feeding Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. A person who observes Ekadasi in this way certainly attains mukti, liberation. Oh, sinless one! According to your inquiry, I have explained the procedure for observing Padmini Ekadasi. Now hear about the enchanting story of Palatsya Muni told Narada Muni. Once Kartavirajun defeated Ravana and put him in the prison house. Pretty powerful. Kartavirajun. When Palatsya Muni saw Ravana in the prison, he went to King Kartavirayarjuna and said, "Please release Ravana, he's crying." Being requested by the great sage, the king finally released Ravana. Well, that was a good move. Upon hearing this amazing event, Narada Muni humbly asked Palatsya, "Oh, best of sages, since Ravana defeated all the demigods, including Indra, how could Kartavirayarjuna beat him up?" "Please explain this to me." Palatsya Muni said, "O Narada, in Treta there was a king named Kartavirya who took birth in the High Dynasty. His capital is Mahishmatipuri. King Kartavirya had 1,000 wives, but no son. Take over the reign of the kingdom. Although the king worshipped forefathers, Pitri, saintly persons, Vaishnava Seva, and observed various vows under saintly persons, he was not blessed with a son. He decided to undergo rigorous austerities. He gave his kingdom to the prime minister and set out to the forest to do rigorous austerities wearing a bark dress." That's interesting. "When he's about to leave his palace, one of his wives, Padmini, said," which is the name of this goddess, "he said, 'Listen, King Kartavirya.' One of his wives, who is she? She was the daughter of King Harishchandra from the Ikshvaku dynasty. His wife saw him and said, 'Hey, where are you going?' His chaste wife saw her husband going to perform austerities and she immediately gave up all her ornaments. And she accompanied her husband to the Mandara mountain. At the summit of Mandara mountain, King Kartavirya and his wife Padmini performed severe austerities for 10,000 years." What age was this? He was a king and he left and did 10,000 years. So he was 10 years old when he was a king. Lived for 10,010. Whatever. I mean, just like in Kali Yuga, you're supposed to live for 100 years. Most people die at 80. Some people live to be 120. So he can live a few extra years, right? But mostly all his life he did austerities. He married young, had a few queens. 1,000, by the way. And he does say, this is ridiculous. I have 1,000 wives and can't get one son. So it's his fault or their fault or everybody's fault. So he went to perform austerities. And then she said, look. Well, she was with her husband, so she watched his body became very thin day by day. Jay's wife thought of a solution. She humbly asked the greatly chaste Anusuya, the wife of Atri Rishi, oh, Sati, chaste lady, my husband spent 10,000 years performing austerities, yet he could not please Lord Kesha, who destroys one's miseries. Oh, fortunate Anusuya, tell me a vow which I can follow so Krishna will be pleased, or the Supreme Lord, and I'll get a son who will become a powerful king. Blessed by the prayer of King Queen Padmini, I'm pleased by the prayer. Anusuya said, so what did Anusuya say? She said, every 3 years there's this Ekadasi, and they're known as Padmini and Parama. That's kind of interesting coincidence. Interesting coincidence. The coincidence is that Anusuya, one of the most famous chaste ladies in the history of Bharat, Varsha, I believe she was the mother of Dattatreya, Atri Muni and Anusuya. I believe they gave birth to the incarnation of Dattatreya, who speaks in the Bhagavatam. Dattatreya is a combined avatar of Vishnu, Shiva and Vishnu. Vishnu, Shiva and Brahma, I believe so. He had three heads, no? So the Ekadasi that Anusuya told her to perform, she said, this Ekadasi in Purushottama mother is named after you, Padmini. What a coincidence. You're Queen Padmini, and this Ekadasi is already existing before you existed. It's called Padmini, or Kamala. If you observe it very soon, the Supreme Lord will be pleased with you and award your desired result to get a son. Krishna Kanita, narration. O Yudhisthira, following Anasuya's instructions, Padmini duly observed Ekadasi. Soon she saw Lord Kesha. In this case, it means Vishnu. It's one of the forms of Vishnu. 24 forms of Vishnu, it's not Krishna Kesha. Kesha Vishnu riding on Garuda came before Padmini and asked her what she wanted for benediction. She offered obeisances and prayers and said, oh Vishnu, give me a son. He said, gentle one, I'm pleased with you. There is no month as dear to me as the month of Adhik Mas. The Ekadashis of this month are most dear to me. You have to be an amateur. You have properly observed this Ekadashi. Therefore, I will certainly fulfill the desire of your husband. After speaking to Padmini, the Lord came before the king and said, King, ask for your desired benediction. That's a pretty good deal. They both did tapasya and they both got two benedictions. Frequent flyer miles. What do you want? I've been pleased with your wife where she observed the sacred vow of Ekadashi. Hearing Vishnu talk, king became jubilant and begged the Lord to give him a son. He'll be very powerful and always victorious. Of course, he was blessed with a son, King Kartav Vir Yarjun. He said, O Madhusudan, Vishnu, Lord of the universe, let me have a son who will not be defeated by demigods, humans, serpents, or demons. Lord grant the king his desired boon disappeared. Being fully satisfied, the king and his wife regained their health and returned to their opulent kingdom. And of course, she gave birth to a powerful son who known as King Karta Viryarjun. There was no other warrior in the three worlds as great as him. Even the ten-headed Ravana was defeated by him and thrown in prison. Confirmed. After narrating this wonderful story, the great sage Palatsya left. Krishna concluded, O sinless king, I have thus described to you the glories of Ekadashi, which occurs during the waxing moon of the extra leap year. O best of kings, anyone who observes this Ekadashi certainly goes to the abode of Lord Hari. Back to Godhead Ki. According to the statement of Sri Krishna, Maharaj Yudhisthira with his entire family observed this Ekadashi. A person who faithfully observes his Padmini Ekadashi during his life becomes glorious. Even one who hears or reads the glories of this Ekadashi obtains great amount of piety. Padmini Ekadashi Vrataki.
Jai.
Adikamasa Vrataki.
Jai.
Nagarga Samhita, the sadhana siddha gopis who appeared in Bom Vrindavan, they met Radharani one day. They said, "Oh, Radharani, we're here. We took birth as sadhana siddha gopis. We're so fortunate to have your association. And we're hoping to gain Krishna's favor and darshan. Can you tell us somehow what we can do to please Krishna and gain his favor so soon we can gain his eternal service now that we've finally attained our Gopi Deya in Bhoma Vrindavan?" So in Garga Samhita, Radharani said, "Yes, if you want to please Krishna, you should observe Ekadashi to please Krishna. So even when you take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan as a sadhana siddha gopi, which is what we're trying to become, by our sadhana, we're hoping to get the mercy of Lord and the devotees and Gurudev, Guru Kripa, Bhagavan Kripa. And that's called Kripa Siddhi. It's sadhana siddhi and Kripa Siddhi. But basically it's Kripa Siddhi. Sadhana is activities which attract the mercy. Because without mercy, no matter how much sadhana you do, you can't attain perfection. No matter how many ropes Yashoda collected, she couldn't tie Krishna. Could she? That proves that by your own individual effort, you cannot bind Krishna. She had a lot of prema, vatsalya prema. And the only thing that can bind Krishna is prema, but not prema alone. If you have prema, you can bind me if I let you, which means I give my mercy. But if you don't have prema, you can never bind me, because I'll never give you my mercy. You understand? And you only get prema if I give you my mercy. Now first I give you my mercy and you get prema. Now you say, "Oh, I want to tie you up." No. You can if I let you. But if I hadn't given you prema, you wouldn't even have the adhikar to tie me up. So Radharani said, "Yes. If you observe Ekadashi, the Lord will certainly become controlled. There's no doubt about it." So even there, when you take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan, do we have to follow Ekadashi up here? We still have to follow Ekadashi? Well, according to Radharani, yes. If you want to please Krishna, why do we follow Ekadashi here? For what purpose? So we can attain his eternal service. So it goes on and on. I've been doing Ekadashi for 32 years, 32 lifetimes, 32 million years. Then you finally get your Siddhadeya. Then you take birth over there. And then, are you doing Ekadashi? Up here too. I thought Krishna ate grains. He doesn't fast on Ekadashi. Oh, that's Krishna. You're not Krishna. Even up here. Oh my God. So then Radharani said, "Listen, I'm going to give you another tip. You want a special tip? So you make a lot of spiritual advancement with very little effort? I'm going to tell you something. That in 30 seconds, you can get the benefit of 1 year's austerities." So the gopi said, "Yes." The sadhana said, "The gopi, surely Radharani, we would love to have that benefit. Can you tell us?" "Yes. You please repeat after me the names of these 24 Ekadashis. And if you repeat these names with feelings and devotion, then by just simply chanting these names, which takes 35 seconds, you will get the benefit of observing 24 Dwadasi Vrats, of fasting on Dwadasi, which is also a very powerful Vrat." So then Radharani said, "Listen, sadhana siddha gopis, are you ready?" "Yes." "So please repeat after me. These are the names of the 24 Ekadashis. Utpana.
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 Mokshada. Safala. Putrada. Shatila. Jaya. Vijaya. Amalaki. Papamochini. Kamada. Varutini. Mohini. Apara. Nirjala. Yogini. Devashayini. Kamini. Pavitra. Aja. Padma. Indira. Pashankush. Pashankusha. Rama. Prabodhini. Then these two for Adhikamas. Padmini. Parama. Then Radharani said, thank you. And she said, listen, Shunye, Shuno, anyone who chants the names of these 26 Ekadashis obtains the result of observing the vow of Dwadashi for 12 months. That means you get, simply by chanting these 24 Ekadashi names and remembering Garga Rishi and Srimati Radharani and all the sadhana siddha gopis and praying for their mercy and the combined mercy of Sri Guru and Granga, then in 35 seconds by chanting these names, one will get the benefit of 24 Dwadasi Vratas. That's mercy. Krunamayi Radharani ki. Hari Bhakti Vilas says, it's not Goswami, when one is performing Ekadasi Jagran, then you should hear the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So you can read a little bit about that. It's from chapter 12 of the 10th canto. One day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. He rose early in the morning, blew his bugle horn made of buffalo horn, and woke all the coward boys and cows with this beautiful sound. So apparently Krishna utilizes different sounds at different times of the day to enliven his different devotees. So you know that he carries a buffalo horn and a flute and a lagudi or cowherding stick. And so you might say, well, when does he use his buffalo horn? We always hear his plays as Vena or as Vamshi or Murali to call the gopas or gopis or call the stray cows. But here it says that he uses the bugle. The bugle is the alarm clock. So Krishna blew his buffalo horn, all the cowboys, oh, okay, wake up, Nitai Gaur. Let's go cowherding. And all the cows woke up in the barn, and of course they're already up. Krishna, it's a buffalo horn. Krishna and the boys keeping their respective groups of calves before them. This is Poganda Leela. They proceeded from Brajabhumi into the forest. Hundreds and thousands of coward boys came out of their respective homes in Brajabhumi and joined Krishna. Keeping before them hundreds and thousands of groups of calves, the boys were very beautiful, carrying lunch bags. So just like children when they go to school, they carry their lunch bags. Or their tiffins. In India they carry their tiffins. And Krishna Bhakti Prabhupada says they had their tiffin carriers. And they had their bugles, which means their buffalo horns, flutes and sticks for controlling the calves. They were holding sticks, horns, flutes, and lunch bags. Krishna's coward boyfriends were ornamented by their mothers with necklaces of crystal and gunja seed beads before entering the forest. Once the boys got in the forest away from the protective gaze of their parents, they ornamented themselves with forest fruits and flowers. This is where we get the origin of dry fruit garlands. You see on Janmashtami in Vrindavan. I never saw in America, but came here, you see all interesting things. I have garlands made of fruits, fig garlands, and usually dry fruits, but I suppose you can make grapes, yeah, grape garlands. Drape your neck with grapes. Drape the grapes on the neck. So it's a very interesting thing. Ornamented themselves with forest fruits and flowers. And they ornamented themselves with forest fruits and flowers. So flowers you put behind the ear, or put in your hair, tuck in your belt or whatever. But then ornamenting yourself with a fruit, or maybe you put a fig over your ear. You pick a fresh fig from the fig tree and put a fig in your top knot. Because remember, they wear chuda, which is a top knot. So the top knot has a little circle where they gather the hair together, it's long hair, and they make this kind of smokestack, a little top knot. So on the top of the top knot, they could put a little fruit up there. Like you put a cherry on a cake. You ever have a cupcake with a cherry on it? Because it says they're ornamented with fruit. So how would you ornament your body with fruit? Put an apple in your ear? It's too big. Put a grape in your ear? Put an olive in your ear? What to do? Or get a vine. I know what they would do. Now use your brains. Be a coward boy. They would get some wild olives. Of course, they don't grow in Vrindavan. But they get some wild little bear fruits. Bear was growing then, these little bear fruits. And you get a little string, vine, and you tie it, you pierce it through two bear fruits. And tie a little string, a knot in the end. And you have two bear fruits and a string in the middle, right? So what do you do? Hang it over your ear. You follow? One bear fruit, one little bear fruit's a little bear fruit's like this, looks like a date. It's called bear, B-E-R, bear fruit. It's green and it turns kind of smoky orange and sweet and sour. No, sweet. So they have one over one side dangles under your ear and the other. So that's ornamenting yourself with the fruits, fruit earrings. Or they can make a belt of apricots. They can pick fresh apricots. And make it like a mala, string through the string. You have fresh apricots about this big, you ever seen? Yellow ones? And wear it around their waist. Apricot belt. Sounds like Alice in Wonderland or something. Well, we have to try to take the Shastras literally. And why not? Kids can do anything. If they can make mud pies, if kids can make mud pies and playhouse and make mud cakes and mud cookies. Radharani made mud laddus. The story is there in Barsana. When she's a girl, she made mud laddus. That's how Durvasa Muni gave her the benediction. There's two stories. One is she brought them Chapan Bhog. All the gopis brought Chapan Bhog to his ashram. That's in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So the Upanishads tell that. But there's some local stories that are told in Braj, and I've read in some of these Vrindavan Parikrama books. And a book called Srimati Radharani by Bhakti Purushottam Swami. I forget where the source is, but in Bhakti Purushottam Swami's book about Srimati Radha Rani's Mahima, glories and Leela, he tells that once Durvasa Muni went to Barsana to give Ashirvad and blessings to Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And Larali, Radharani, the darling daughter of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida, she was playing house. Like all little girls do. Playing house with their girlfriends, 4 or 5 year old girlfriend, no, 4 or 5 year old girls. And 4 or 5, 5, 6 like this. And they were making chapatis out of mud and making puris and samosas out of mud. And she got some mud and rolled it into a ball and made a laddu. Mud laddu. It's called mitti laddu. Instead of mitai. Mitai means sweet. Mitai laddu, mitai means sweet and mitti means clay. Yes? So they took some clay and rolled into a brown ball, or maybe yellow clay, there's also yellow clay, and rolled into a yellow ball, so it looks more like a laddu. Durvasa says, "Oh, girls, oh, Larali, what are you cooking?" He was making a joke. And one day he came to Varsana, and Radharani is playing house and making these mud foods. And then Durvasa said, "What are you doing in cooking?" And then Radharani said, "Oh, I have a laddu. Take some laddus." "Oh, no, I had lunch. I'm quite, I have prasadam. I'm quite full now." "No, It's very nice. I made it with my own hands. It's really tasty. And Dharmas said, what kind of laddu? What was this basin laddu? Made with pure butter, fresh butter from the cows, unsalted butter, and confectioner sugar, no Indian sugar, all crunchy, munchy, bunchy. It's confectioner, baker's sugar, so it's smooth and melts in your mouth. You don't get, you know, your teeth ground off by eating a laddu. So then Radharani, by her Prabhav, she convinced, she said, Dharmasa, take one. So she convinced him to take one of her laddus, mud laddus. Dharmasa ate her mud laddu, and he became, and he said, this is wonderful. It's a very interesting twist, because in Brahmanagar, Krishna ate clay. And then Mother Yashoda went to catch him, and then she saw the whole universe, Ratarupa and his, everything in his mouth. And the big question remains, was he eating clay or was he not? Was he lying to his mother or was he not? So yes, he was lying, and no, he was not lying, and yes, he was eating clay, and no, he was not eating clay. Depends on which way you want to look at it. But it's all Leela, for us and for Yashoda and for everyone. Dharmasa ate that laddu. It was the best laddu he ever had in his life. He couldn't believe it. It's unbelievable. He felt so satisfied and happy. He told Radharani, I give you a benediction. I give you a benediction. That whatever you cook will be taste like amrit, nectar. And like amrit, it will make one amara. Amrit and amara. Anyone who eats your food will never die. Will become immortal. Radha Prasad, or Radha Bhog, whatever you want to call it, food cooked by Radharani. And it'll be very tasty, tastes like nectar, and one will become immortal by eating such food cooked by your sweet Mistahana, your sweet hands, and he will be very strong and healthy. So then the rumor got around to Mother Yashoda, this story about Vrishabhana's daughter, Vrishabhana Nandini. And then she said, oh, can your daughter please come and cook my son's breakfast? So that's when the whole Leela started, of Radharani cooking Krishna's breakfast and Pratak Leela, 6 o'clock in the morning to 8:36. But anyway, now we're with the Coward Boys, and they're wearing their apricot belts and bear fruit earrings and apples on their top knots, mangoes on their top knots, malas of grapes. They string grapes together, make a mala. So they're very sweet coward boys. Walking fruit store. Each coward boy is a walking fruit store. That's a great idea. You're walking along, get hungry, reach up, fill that mango off your top of your head. You're walking a little further, you pull a bear fruit from your ear. And you go a little further, and you just, as you walk along, you just nibble one grape on your necklace, one grape. Along with the coward boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Although the boys were decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, gunja, pearls, and gold, when they went to the forest, they further decorated themselves. In some places, other books say they threw away all that stuff because they knew the Palinda women would come along and pick them up. Because the Palinda women were so enamored. The Palinda women are like the Abos, Aborigines or Adivasis. But they're beautiful because they're in love with Krishna. Their beauty is their prema. And that's the real beauty of anyone. If you have physical beauty, you can't gain Krishna. But if you have transcendental beauty of Krishna Prem decorating your heart, then the beautiful effulgence of that Prem will gain you Krishna. So the coward boys, they would throw away all these ornaments of gold and gunja and whatever they collected, their mothers draped on their body before they left for cowherding. Why? Because the Palinda women were so enamored and attracted to the coward boys that they would offer them so many wonderful things. They themselves would personally pick the fruits that they would use for their grape malas and apricot belts and bear earrings. Bear fruit. B-E-R. It wasn't like they put a bear on their ears. B-E-R is a little tiny fruit, native fruit of Vrindavan, very sweet, and they add in Krishna's Leela also. Very old, very ancient tree, fruit actually, Indian tree. Very healthy thing also. Extremely healthy, long vitamins, minerals, very healthy. When they're ripe. Tasty too. Nice, unique taste. A little lemony. It's like lemony apple. It's like, but sweet, not that tart, sour thing of an apple. It's like they're actually nice, like a sweet apple. So he would kind of reject these and throw them in the bushes and hang them on the trees, all these necklaces. A Belinda woman would come along and pick them up as Ma Prasad, Gopa Prasad. And then in return, they would pick all these fruits, fresh fruits, and bring baskets of fruits to the cowherd boys. They would also make them flutes and panpipes. Panpipes is a little tiny pipe. It's like a kind of whistle thing. It's made of bamboo. Little tiny skinny baby bamboos. And it's something like a harmonica. Ever see a harmonica put up your mouth? Ho 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 ho. Hoo hoo hoo. Hoo hoo hoo. And blow air through this harmonica. So the panpipe is, it's a series of pipes. It's like a pipe. A pipe means a little tube. And one's like, the smallest one is about 1.5 inches, then 2, then 3, and 4, in a row. And where you blow it, they're all equal. It's like this, right? But then one's long, one's short, but it goes, you know, one's like this, you know, like this, you see? A line like this. So the bottom line is different, right? So they hold it to their mouth and whoop, 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 whoop. So they love to play around with that. And so the Belinda women would custom, the boys, they're play, they're not busy crafting panpipes and flutes. So the Belinda women would cut down the bamboo, dry it in the sun, or dry it over a slow kaldong fire so it comes straight and becomes hard and gives a more mellow sound. It dries in the sun, it's okay, but not so nice. And dry it over a slow fire, turning it by hand slowly so all sides cook nicely. Then they would put bands around it and put holes in it and tune it all up. Then they would just hand the boys, they'd come and give free flutes, like people give gifts to children, they give food and drinks and sweets. So they give flutes, fresh fruits and flutes, fresh fruits and flutes, and pan pipes to toots. And this way so the cowherd boys reciprocate, because they're devotees, and devotees reciprocate with the loving expressions of other devotees. Tadati pratigrinati punkte bojayate jeva. So they would throw away all this stuff, and then they would decorate themselves with green leaves, fruits. They would further decorate themselves. Decorate, didn't say eat, says decorate. It says bhushita. Bhushita ap yabushana, bhushayan. Kacha gunja mani swarna. Money, jewels, swarna, gold, gunja, kacha. They would throw that away. Bhushita apya bhushayan. Bhushana means ornament or decoration. So they would decorate themselves with fruits, like I was saying, apricot waist belts and bear fruit earrings and mangoes decorating their top knots and malas of grapes. Haribo Nitaigor Haribo. And then they would collect green leaves and bunches of flowers and peacock feathers and soft minerals. It means like gairika. Gairika is what they call rock dye. It's a red rock. It's kind of reddish in color. And you rub it in water and the water becomes red and you dye your cloth and become a... It's called rock dye. Brahmacharis used to come into India and dye their cloth with gairika. And there's potassium permanganate, which is naturally purple. And calcium sulfate, which is blue. All these different minerals that are natural. And there's, of course, sulfur, which is yellow, and limestone, which is white. And so they get all kinds of wonderful things. And then Belinda women would also give them these rocks. If they have to go around and find these rocks, they would collect the rocks and powder them. Then they would just give the cowherd boys the powder, and decorate their faces with sandalwood powder, and black kasturi, sandalwood and kasturi and kumkum, red and brown and yellow. It's beautiful. So these were the gifts given by the Belinda women to the gopis also, and to the gopas, cowherd boys. Natural life. Pastoral beauty. Well, all the cowherd boys used to steal This stealing thing is big in Vrindavan. Krishna's the biggest, blackest thief of the whole gang. He's a gang leader. He's like the god, well, the Don or something. You call the Don? The big mafia guy called the Don? The godfather. He was the leader. He said, come on, boys, let's steal. And they were right into it. There weren't any boys who were not into stealing. They either stole from others or stole from me. They were like compulsive thieves. They would either steal from the neighbors, steal from their mothers, or steal from each other. One thief steal. You know, Prabhupada said there's no honesty among thieves. Prabhupada makes a joke on one tape. He said one group of thieves, bank robbers, they got together. They knocked off a bank and got 10 lakhs. They went back to their hideout and they put all the money on the floor. And then one of the thieves says, now listen, and the thieves started arguing, I want this, I want that, I want this gold, I want these necklaces we got from the bank lockers. They were fighting over bangles and necklaces they ripped off from the bank, or stole from the bank, robbed from the bank. Then the leader of the thieves says, listen, hey, calm down, boys. Let's divide this wealth honestly. Let's divide this wealth honestly. And Prabhupada said, there's no honesty among thieves. So he used that analogy to describe the modern people in the material world. Because Krishna, because the Upanishads, these Upanishads is telling something very important. Isha vasyam idam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagatena tyaktena bunjita madgrihad kasi swidhanam. Everything in this world, every object, every tree, every mineral, every diamond, every gem, everything of value and everything in this entire world is owned and controlled by the Lord. One should therefore only accept that which is set aside at his quota and not take more, knowing full well who it belongs to. It all belongs to Isha, Isha Vasya. It all belongs to Parameshwara Sri Krishna. And so people are ripping Krishna off. They're stealing his oil. They're stealing his gold. They're stealing everything, using it for Maya. They're not using it for Krishna. So everyone in this world is a thief. So they get punished by the laws of nature. Well, the coward boys used to steal each other's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his lunch bag had been stolen, the other boys would throw the lunch bag further away to a more distant place. And those standing there would throw it even further. So that, hey, where's my lunch bag? Is this your lunch bag? Yeah, give me my lunch bag. So he would run to get it. And here. And they would throw it 10 yards to the other guy. Hey, and then he would run, you rascal. Hey, he'd run, hey, give me the, I'm hungry, give me my lunch bag. I got some good stash in there. You don't know what I have in there. I know my mother has some special things in there. So you want your lunch bag? And then somebody would, like a football, somebody would run, another coward boy would run 20 meters down, further down, he would throw it. On this day, the coward boys would get a lot of exercise chasing their lunch bags. When the proprietor of the lunch bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh. Ha, 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 ha. I will give my lunch bag, I can't want my lunch bag. Ha, 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 ha. Then what would, so the thieves would laugh. And the boy who owned that lunch bag, what would he do? He would cry. And then the bag would be returned. So this crying program is been around for a long time. When you can't get what you want, or you want to get what you had, then you cry. The coward boys used to steal musnanta, each other's articles. One boy would steal another's food container and take it to a distant place. Oh, this is funny, Vishnu. This is really funny. Because the Bhagavatam just says in other Puranas, they describe other aspects. Bhagavatam says one boy would, which seems innocent enough and not so, you could say, nasty or whatever. One boy would throw it to another. Okay, so finally, without much effort, you get your lunch bag. You run around a little bit and cry, you finally get your lunch bag back. But they were a little bit more notorious than that. So one boy would steal another's food container or his tiffin, and he would take it to a distant place, and he would hide that food tiffin, that lunchbox, under a tree which was surrounded by thorn bushes and red ants. And as you know, there's a difference between red ants and black ants. Black ants worship Krishna, and they're sweet. They love sweets, and they don't bite you. They just kiss you. They crawl on you. But red ants are passionate. Anybody wears red dresses or pink dresses, it means they're passionate, lusty, greedy. This is the color of lust and greed, is red and pink. So the red ants, they don't like sweets at all. They like mustard oil. They like hot things. And they like to fight. The warring ants are the red ants. They beat each other up. They have fraternal wars. They're very interesting. You hide the boy's lunch tiffin under a tree surrounded by thorns and at the base of that tree, because ants often like to make their homes in the base of trees, in the roots. And there's all red ants. So you put the lunch bag and lunch tiffin on top of an anthill. And what it says, when the boy whose lunch bag was stolen tried to retrieve it, you know, so when the boy would crawl in, in order to get it, he had to crawl through the sticker bushes. When he picked up his lunchbox, it would be covered with red ants. And he's biting him and stinging him like anything. And they really sting when they bite. Sometimes Krishna would go to a distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would accompany him, saying, "I shall be the first to touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna." In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Well, that's certainly a good way to enjoy life. Always stay in touch with Krishna. Isn't it? Kirtaniya Sadhari. That's the way to always stay in touch with Krishna. Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam. Touch Krishna with our ears. Touch Krishna with our tongue. Then we can touch Krishna with our hands. But until we touch Krishna, until we contact Krishna with our purified mind, tongue, and ears, then we can never embrace Krishna. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indre Sevan Mugehi Jiva Do Swayame Vasparatida Krishna Spurti, Krishna Darshan, Krishna Embracing, Krishna Lingata, Prema Lingata. To embrace Krishna, one must be in love with Krishna. And one becomes in love with Krishna when one offers his heart and his mind and his ears to his holy name, serves Krishna's name with his tongue, Sevan Mukhi. So they would enjoy life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Samsprishya remire. I will touch him. No, I will. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees. And others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Some boys imitated flying birds by flying after the bird's shadows in the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. That's pretty wild. Like a swan, the swan's neck goes like this, and down like that. Comes out of its body, goes down like that. So they kind of go like, you know, use their arm or something and walk like this, try to walk like graceful movements like a swan. Some would sit down with the ducks sitting silently. Others imitated the dancing of the peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. They jumped into the trees imitating the monkeys. They made faces at the monkeys. They made faces like the monkeys would make. And others would jump from one branch to the other. That's even a common leela, even today at Radhakund. You see the Brijvasi boys, which are kind of like monkeys themselves. But they go, you know, they're always interacting with the monkeys. The monkeys lunge at them, and they lunge at the monkeys. The monkeys, ooh. And they go, ooh. It's really, ever seen it? It's wild. And sometimes the monkeys run away from the boys, and sometimes the monkeys get fierce and the boys run away. Especially the little ones, they loved it. That is Lila with the monkeys. It's kind of like Vera Ross or something. So the boys would climb in the trees and they would jump from one tree branch to another, like monkeys do. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed the river, jumping with the frogs. Then when they saw their own reflections in the surface of the water, they would begin to laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. They would go to some cave and say, "Hey, you!" And it's, "Hey, you!" So they condemn their own voices. In this way, the cowboys play with Krishna, the source of Brahman, etc. It says here, Vishnu Chakravarti says, they blew bugles, made a buffalo horn, they chased the shadows, and they pulled the tails of the baby monkeys. You notice it says baby. Baby monkeys just go, ooh, 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 and run to their mother. They didn't pull the tails of the male monkeys. That's a bad move. And these are kids. These are 5-year-old kids. The monkey weighs as much as them. They weigh about 30 kilos. The monkey weighs 30 kilos. But the monkey's a lot stronger. They got arms. Arms are bigger than me. I mean, it doesn't say much, but all day long they're lifting weights, lifting their own body weight, jumping. There's wild little characters. Rhesus monkeys. But listen how friendly they were, these monkeys. They were too tight with these monkeys. The coward boys would climb the trees by grabbing the tails of the monkeys hanging from the branches. Those are pretty supportive monkeys. Pretty tolerant. If somebody grabs our tail, we won't be very tolerant. Right? They grab our shika and try to climb the tree. They leaped after the frogs into pools of water, which were created by the cascading waterfalls. Upon seeing their reflections on the water, they would laugh heartily. Raising their arms, the boys would shout loudly in a playful mood. Then they would curse their echoes, saying, "Are!" They would find some abandoned well, and then they would say, "Hey, hey, hey!" They would curse their own echoes. "Are! Ah! Who is that speaking?" Hearing a single syllable echo back, the boys would become angry. "What?" The boys would say like this. They would go into a well. They would curse their echoes, saying, "Ha ha, are, are." Then they would hear a single syllable echo back. The boys would become angry and say, "What is this?" Then the echo would reply, vibrating, "Re, re, re." And the boys would say, "Today you will die." And this way they would curse again and again, and it would never come to an end.